I hope I spelled that right. It's supposed to say bags. I thank the Lord for the song that we just heard. Thank the Lord that Jesus was willing to die on the cross for us. Without his stripes, without his blood, where would we be? We would be lost. We would not definitely be here. The world would not be the same as it is today. There would be a lot less compassion, a lot less mercy. People would be in much, much worse condition, even worldwide, if it wasn't for Jesus. So I thank the Lord that he was willing to die for us. The burden I have today, this morning, is concerning the Holy Spirit, but I want to go into it indirectly. I first want to ask the question, how many of you here like a spanking? You children, you know, raise your hand. Do you like to get a spanking? How many like a spanking? You know, when I was young, a little girl, I got a few of those. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get away from here and get out of these spankings. I don't want any more spankings. When I get big and grow up, I'm going to move away and get away from my mom and dad where they can't spank me anymore. But you know, when you get older, you find out that there's still rules and there's laws that you have to obey. And you appreciate those spankings that you got when you were a child because it taught you to have respect and order in your life, regard to the law and the rules that are in the world and in your home and in life in general. And then when you get into the Lord's army and serve the Lord, you find out that you also, if you have the Holy Spirit with you, have the Lord to deal with, and he gives you spankings. He gives you spankings. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, Sam, is how the Lord deals with us. Because I find it sometimes confusing to Sam about how the Lord deals and his Holy Spirit. So I'm going to open up myself this morning and expose some ways that the Lord dealt with me. Make myself vulnerable. And what happened and how the Lord deals with me personally in a couple of ways, so that you can maybe relate, I think you will, and know how the Lord deals, and you find your way, the Lord deals with you. But I'll tell you what happened to me, a little story. I went to Sam's earlier this fall, last year, about September, whatever, and bought some groceries, quite a bit. Came up to the line, and if you all have ever been to Sam's, they do things a little differently there. They leave your things in the cart, and they don't sack your groceries. And so when I got up to the register, it was a very busy evening like usual, and the clerk told me, don't take your things out of the cart, just bring it around. She had one of those guns, and she said, I'll, you know, take the price off of each item in the cart. And while she was ringing up my groceries, and I was helping her, you know, giving her things and all, somebody asked her a question, another clerk, and she kind of helped them, came back to me, and we finished up and all. And then you go through the door, and you give the man at the door your receipt, and he stamps it. He looks over and makes sure you got what you say on your ticket. But, of course, they're in a hurry. They do it real fast, and most of the time he just stamps mine, and I go on. So I got to the car, and I was putting my things in the car, and I thought, did I pay for this bag of cheese that I had bought for, you know, 11:23. So I looked at my ticket, looked it over, and sure enough, I had not paid for that bag of cheese. I thought, oh, no, I'm in a hurry. I'm running late. I want to go home and make supper and everything with the family, and I'll take care of it the next time I come in. I'll pay for that bag of cheese, but I am in a big, bad hurry. So I went on home and, you know, did my evening duties and everything, and about 2 weeks later, I was in Sam's, and the Lord reminded me, I forgot to pay for that bag of cheese. I said, I know, Lord, but what I'll have to do is I'll have to go get a bag of cheese, along with some other things, take it to the register and let them ring it up because I don't want them to have to go do a price check. Then I'll have to go take the bag of cheese back to the refrigerator so it doesn't sit out and get warm. And I just don't feel like doing that. I'm in a hurry again. So, Lord, just forgive me this time, but you know I'm going to pay for that bag of cheese, and I'm going to go on, and I'll take care of it, you know. And I made an excuse. Don't have the time. The next time I was in the store, it was, I don't have the money. I went to Sam's and I said, Lord, I really don't quite have the money, and I'm just staying up here at the front. The bag of cheese is way in the back of the store. I don't have the time, Lord. I'll get it next time. Now, you know I'm going to pay for that bag of cheese. I am going to do it, but I will do it next time. Third time. I'm sorry, but I did it. I excused myself again. Lord, I'm in another hurry. I'm just buying pictures. Why should I have to run all the way back to the refrigerator section, get a bag of cheese, come up here, pay for it, and take it all the way back? I'm in a hurry. I'm just buying pictures. I don't have the time to pay for this bag of cheese. Well, the next time I was in the store, I just had a few items, and the Lord reminded me, but I excused it off again. And I had $80 in my pocket, and I pulled out a 50 and a 20 and a 10, and all my groceries rang out to was $26. And so I gave the clerk the 10 and the 20. She gave me change back, and I stuffed the change and the 50 back in my coat pocket. Took my groceries out to the car, stopped by at a 7-Eleven and got an icy that I liked, and then I went to the next grocery store. Got up to the register to pay for my groceries, and I pulled out the 50 because I knew I had just enough money to pay for the groceries there. And the 50 wasn't there. I did not have the $50 bill. And I searched my pockets. And, you know, there was a long line of people waiting. And I thought, well, maybe I put it in my purse. Oh, my purse. Started searching through there. And I could tell the checker boy, he was going, oh, man, please don't go through your purse. it's like, okay. I looked through my wallet, and everybody was kind of like, you know how it is whenever people are waiting in line and the lady up in front's plugging up the line. And I said, okay, I'm just gave him a card. I got to my car, and I thought, where did I put that $50 bill? And I was searching through my purse, and I was searching my car. I thought, maybe it fell out of my pocket, and I thought, where did I put that? And, of course, I started praying, and I said, Lord, where is that $50 bill? What did I do with it? How could I be so careless? Lord, you know where that $50 bill is. And he goes, uh-huh, and you didn't pay for that bag of cheese either. I said, what? Lord, that bag of cheese only costs $11.23, not $50. That is too much for a bag of cheese. And he said, you didn't pay for that bag of cheese. You did not pay for that bag of cheese. Lord, you know I'm not a thief, and I was not planning on stealing that bag of cheese. And he said, uh-huh, you didn't pay for that bag of cheese. And the Lord knows, if he wants to get my attention, this is me, the best way to get my attention is to cause me to lose something. I hate to lose something more than anything else in the world, because you waste time hunting for it, and it was something you had, and you don't have it now, and that is disgusting. And I hate to lose something, and he knows he gets my attention if he causes me to lose something, because I get desperate and start praying. So, Lord, please, please, Lord, help me to find this lost money. And he said, you didn't pay for that bag of cheese. And he said, you know, there was somebody else that had a bag. And he had good intentions, too. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John, the 12th chapter. Somebody else that had a bag. And he had good intentions. This is a place here in Jesus' life, whenever he came in and he was sitting down to eat at Peter's house, and a woman came in who had been miraculously delivered of the devil. And she knelt before Jesus' feet, and she took her hair, and she poured out an ointment on the feet of Jesus, and she washed his feet with her hair. And Jesus looked at her with compassion. But how did the other disciples look at her? They looked upon her with disgust. And one of them said, which was Judas Iscariot, he said, Lord, she wasted this ointment. I mean, it could have been taken and sold, and quite a bit of money brought in for that, for our money bag. The money that, you know, we're keeping to pay for our supplies, our food when we travel. And I'm paraphrasing here, but that's what the story is. If you'd look there in the 13th chapter of St. John, right in about the, let's see here. Is it 12th? I'm sorry, 12th chapter. right there, by where, 12th chapter, about the fourth verse, right in there. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." And it was right at that time that Judas went out and he betrayed Jesus to the high priest. He told them, he said, "How much will you give me for Jesus?" And according to scholars, they believe that that $30 is about the estimate that he figured that ointment would have cost. He had good intentions. And you know, Jesus had before had been able to escape from stoning and other things. He had been able to get away from the people. So perhaps Judas, in his estimation, thought, "Jesus will get away again. You know, he'll get away again, and I'll get the money for the bag, and they'll try to capture Jesus, but he'll get away because he has before, and he's the king, and he does miracles." And Judas probably didn't have bad intentions, really. He didn't plan on being the one to cause Jesus to be executed, to be killed. And what we know, too, is what did he do after he realized that they were going to keep Jesus and they were going to crucify Jesus? What did Judas do? Judas Iscariot went back to the chief priest, and he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." And he threw those 30 pieces of silver there to them, and he said, "Take your money. I don't want it." Remember then, he went out, and he hung himself. He just wanted to make some money for the bag. He had perhaps good intentions, but he betrayed Jesus, the Christ. He lost his soul over that. I said, "Lord, I didn't want to lose my soul over a bag of cheese." "Lord, you know, a bag of cheese." But he said, "You know, my walk is careful, and I dealt with you 3 or 4 times, and you procrastinated. Now, don't you know that the end of time is coming soon?" "Yes, the end of time is coming soon." He said, "If I came in the clouds in the glory, as the scriptures bring out, over here, if you look in 1 Peter, how much time will we have when the Lord comes back again? How much time are we going to have to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord? When we see him coming in the clouds and we see all the evil going on in the face of this earth and we all believe and we know the end of time is coming soon, well, how much time are we going to have to prepare ourselves whenever we see the Lord coming in the clouds? Are we going to be able to say, 'Lord, I need to go straighten this up with brother and sister so-and-so because I have ill will toward them and I want to get it straightened up. I need to go back to Sam's and pay for that bag of cheese, Lord. I need to go back and take care of this and do this and make this right.'" Are we going to have that kind of time? We're not going to have that kind of time, because it says here it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. 2 Peter 3. "In the twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet shall sound, the Lord's going to come back in the clouds, and we're going to be seeing him in his glory. Then everything that we have done, all the deeds that we have done, it's going to be manifested to us." And one place in the scripture says, "Be shouted upon the housetop." And we're not going to have time to go back and get things right with the Lord. And the Lord dealt with me on that. He said, "You want to keep things up to date and current. Don't procrastinate on things. If you know I want you to do something, do it quickly. Do it diligently." There's a scripture in Matthew, the 5th chapter, I believe, where it says, "Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest he deliver you up to the..." Let's see what it says. "Lest he deliver you up, and you pay more for your guilt." Matthew, the 5th chapter, the Sermon on the Mount there, where Jesus was talking. 5:25, "Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Agree quickly. Don't let things tarry on. Don't be procrastinating. When the Lord deals with your heart, take care of it quickly. He wants us to be diligent in that. If we are the salt of the earth, we must be careful in the way we live, the way the Lord deals with us. Now, the way the Lord deals with me may be different than the way he deals with you. But I believe our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will draw us together, as it is in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, where it talks about the Holy Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. It will draw us together. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, it brings that out, that there is a unity in the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is dealing with me, and he's dealing with you, he's going to deal with us on our level that we understand, but he's going to draw us together and bond us. I believe that. I'll tell you a little illustration of that here too, and I'll get back to the rest of the story about the bag of cheese later. But I'll tell you how it is with me and my friends that I have, that, you know, all of you know I have a child with special needs. And there's an organization in Oklahoma called DASCO, and they meet together, and I've not been as faithful to meet with them as I probably should be. But because when we meet together, we have something in common, I bond on a level with those parents there. I can relate to what they are saying because I know the kind of dealings they have with their child. There's some things that are similar that we can relate upon. And some of those parents I never meet in any other circumstance or any other part of my life except at one of those meetings. Some of them, I don't even know their names. But I can talk to them on the level of our children and relate with them, and we bond. And they know what I'm saying. The other night, Brother John, when he was talking, he said he had the dream about his daughter being healed, Jamie. I know what he's saying, and I can, and his wife, I can relate with her on a level because she probably does twice as much work in getting ready to go to church or somewhere than anyone else, at least twice as much, because of the things that she has to work with. But she's not going to tell you that, and I know why. She's not going to relate it. You wouldn't understand, but I understand what she's saying because we have similar circumstances. I feel sorry. Parents that have children with autism, that's very difficult to deal with. I'd never even been introduced to that until I had a child with special needs. But there are things there that parents deal with when they have a child like that that they can relate to and bond to together. And I'm saying that to say this, that's the way it is among God's people. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit deals with each of us in the same type of way in that we bond together. Yes, the Holy Spirit dealt with you on that, the Holy Spirit deals with me, and there is a bonding there, see, and a drawing together, a unity. When Jesus prayed in John, the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters, beautiful passages, and if you want to ever memorize, that is important there. It's a lot of repeating, but those are that's the prayer that Jesus gave over the disciples and for you and I before he was crucified. That prayer says, Father, make them as one, as you and I are one. Now, the other night, someone said something about there was a division from the Anderson Church over the necktie, and that keeps coming up as a subject. That was just a surface thing. Actually, what was taking place was they were beginning to make committees, and they were beginning to use man reasoning to put people into place and to do manipulating, and that's what was displeasing. The necktie was a surface thing, but the undercurrent for the reason of it was to reach out to more sophisticated people. The undercurrent of it was to put people into position and authority in the church that had maybe more talent or more speaking, better speaking ability. And there was a manipulating there. That was the real reason why. They were losing the Holy Spirit leadership that was bonding and pulling them together. They were losing that in reaching out for more class, more money, more sophistication, and more power. We need to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. We don't want to be that way, and I'm just bringing that in because we want the Holy Spirit to continue to lead with us. I'll bring this out. Last night, I was, when we had our business meeting, I assigned my, volunteer to take care of the young people's thing on New Year's Eve. And when I was getting my things together and all, someone else had also volunteered, but I wasn't aware of that until last night. And Sister Tammy brought her things, and I brought mine, and we said, "Oh, I didn't know you were." And she said, "I didn't know you were." But you know what? It did. It was good. It was very good. That, to me, was a blessing because what she brought blended with what I brought, and we had not even talked to each other. To me, that blessed me. I like, to know that the Lord led in that way and bonded us together where we complemented each other, and we didn't even, and I'm not against making arrangements, and I'm just simply saying it blessed me because we bonded together and blended, and yet we had not called and talked to each other and made plans about who was bringing what. That, to me, is a blessing of the Lord, the Holy Spirit leading there. He bonded us in such a way, not knowing what each other was doing. And that is the Lord working. He works in that way. And I appreciate that so much. Let's not lose that. Let's keep that Holy Spirit leadership there, the Holy Spirit bonding. And let the Lord work among us as he has and is doing. Let's continue to do that. Going back to the bag of cheese that I had carelessly forgotten to pay for, I never did find the $50. And I prayed and repented and asked the Lord to forgive me for being so careless for not paying that bag of cheese. And the Lord said, "Sin is costly. Sin is costly. You'll pay how much more when you do something sinful?" And I'm not, this is the way the Lord dealt with me. I disobeyed him. I should have paid when I should have, and I didn't. But one thing leads to another. Excuses. I kept making excuses. And they were good excuses, were they not? I was in a hurry. I had to get home. I didn't at one time have the money. I made good excuses, right? But they didn't pass the Lord's judgment. The Lord has the final say. "I'd rather fall into the hands of the living God than into the hands of man." David had that feeling whenever he had disobeyed, remembered it, and he did a simple thing, really. He counted the people. He was coming up against the enemy. Remember there in Samuel? I think it's 2 Samuel there. Anyway, he counted the people, and he wanted to know how strong his army was to come up against the enemy. Now, that would sound like something simple to do, but what did the Lord do? He spoke to David, and he said, "You've disobeyed me. I did not want you to count the people. Now you're going to have to suffer the consequences." And he gave David three choices. And David chose to fall into the hands of God. And I would too. I would too. And you know what happened? Several thousand of his men died. And David was grieved. He took an ox and went into made an altar and sacrificed to the Lord so that the death angel would quit smiting his men. I think it only lasted for 3 days. But David was grieved, and he said, "I've sinned, and it's cost me and my men a lot, and it was my guilt." We can make a mistake or sin or do something wrong, and it can be costly to those others, too, around us, following behind. Lord, help us to be careful. It caused me to put more of a carefulness about my experience and listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit deals with us. Be quiet and listen to Him. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. I remember when I was a young person, and I'll just tell this, my grandma was a very spiritual lady, and we were very close. And she was, for a while, I would have to say, my Holy Spirit, kind of. Because if I had anything I needed counseling about, I'd run to Grandma. "Grandma, what about this?" And we'd talk about it and pray. And and I'd feel good about this, and that was okay. But then my grandma passed away whenever I was expecting my third child. No, wait. Now she saw Susan. It was my, after Susan was born, I had three little children, and my grandma passed away. And I remember thinking, sitting on the bed, and I was crying, and I said, "Lord, who's going to talk to me now? Who's going to counsel me? I've lost grandma. Who's going to counsel me?" You know? And the Lord said, "I'm here. I'm here. Lean on the Holy Spirit, the Lord." Well, I got that message, but, you know, we're human. And later on, and I had my mother, I went to my mother for counsel a lot, and she had good advice. And then I found another spiritual sister, and I appreciated her very much. But I began to do the same thing, and I would run to her for every little thing, and I'd say, "How do I do this in raising my children?" And she is a very spiritual lady, and I really appreciated her. And I think it's okay to get counsel, but what I'm bringing out is, get a hold of the Lord for yourself. Get a hold of Him, because He knows your situation and your life better than anyone else. And I remember one time I was dealing with something, and I thought, I was taking some letters to the mailbox here in Guthrie, and I was putting them in the mailbox, and I thought, as soon as I get these letters mailed, I'm going to go to this sister and pray with her and get counsel from her, because I need help. And the Lord spoke to me real plain, and He said, "No, go home and kneel and pray to me. Pray to me. Ask me what you want, what I want you to do. Ask me for guidance." Okay, Lord. But I didn't feel like I was capable of myself. But He said, "You're not. I have it for you." And I took His advice. I went home and prayed, and the Lord helped me. And you know, later on, not long after that, I was facing a prison sentence. And I realized, you know, if I went to prison, I'm not going to have that sister there to pray with me. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit help me. Lord, let me hear Your voice better. Let me know when You speak to me. And the Lord has been faithful. Like I said, He knows how to catch my attention by I lose things. And there's other ways, and I won't go into that. But the Lord knows how to get my attention. I've learned what He does or how He works with me to cause me to stop and take account of myself, and how He brings me encouragement. We've become friends. That's important for each one of you here. Learn how to talk or communicate with the Lord so that you know when He speaks to you. And if somebody else does something different, you still know, "Lord, I know that was You speaking to me." And have a little secret things there. The Lord knows your heart. He knows how to deal with each one here in their own personal language inside, how to deal. And it may be different, it will be. It will be different than how He deals with someone else. But you're going to bond with that person because it's the same Holy Spirit. And we all have different growth levels. You know, I can't take a little boy and shake him and say, "I want you to be a man right now." I can't do that. That little boy is not going to be a man tomorrow. He's got that growing space there, right? He's got to grow. So there's all levels of growth, and the Lord knows that. He's patient with us each one. He deals with us. And sometimes we can look at someone in our own human way and say, "They should have known better than that. Sister Connie should have known better than to keep procrastinating about that bag of cheese." But I have to admit, I didn't. I did it. Let the Lord deal with each individual on their level. He will deal with them. And sometimes we slip a little. But Lord, help us to get up and keep going. Keep going. That we don't lose heart and get discouraged and say, you know, and others maybe come and we feel pressure and we feel like we're not doing what we should. Don't let the devil take advantage of you in that way. But keep pressing forward. Get up, repent to the Lord, Move on. Move on. Rise above it. Don't let it crush you down, but rise above it. The Lord wants us to press toward the mark for the high calling. It's a high calling, but it's attainable. It's available by His grace and by His Holy Spirit leadership. Just don't get discouraged. Keep pressing forward and let His Holy Spirit spank you. Now, there's a scripture in Hebrews that brings that out. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. When the Lord loves you, be thankful that He gives you correction, because that is His dealings. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. 6th verse. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And a little farther down it says, in the 11th verse, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So the Lord will bless us in those times, and He will give us the strength to press on. Just don't faint. Don't faint. Well, I was very discouraged. I was kind of upset at myself how I could be so careless. And then I said, Lord, I hope the person that found that $50 didn't use it on beer and cigarettes. I was really upset at myself about it, and I was grieved that I did it and all. And then I was praying, and you know what happened? That bag of cheese came before me again. I said, Lord, I already paid $50 for it. He said, no, not to Sam's. You didn't pay Sam's. You lost the $50 for a punishment. But Sam's did not get the $11.23 for that cheese. Okay, I'm back to square one again. So I went to Sam's, and I went and got a bag of cheese, along with my groceries. And I told the guy at the register, I said, bring up that cheese twice. Ring it up twice, because, and I explained to him, I was in here the other day, a while back, and they missed getting a bag of cheese registered. And so go ahead and ring up this bag of cheese twice. Oh, you're so honest. I'm so thankful there's honest people in the world. And he went on, and I said, well, I appreciate you respecting that, but I said, I don't want to be guilty of this bag of cheese. I want to pay for it. So I paid for that bag of cheese that they had failed to get earlier back in the fall, and I felt so good inside. Well, that's not the rest, all of the story. In the meantime, I'd had a credit card that I'd been using at the gas pump, because it's easier, you don't have to go inside. And I'd been using this at the pump and then paying it. But anyway, I went to one pump and they rejected and declined my card. And I thought, what in the world happened here? I always, it shouldn't have been declined. And thought, maybe it's just the station. And I used it again at another station and they rejected that card. And I thought, what's going on? So that very same day that I'd paid for that bag of cheese and got that all cleared up, I also had to call that credit card company to find out why I had to pay on the bill, but also to find out why they were declining my card. And the man on the other end, he said, ma'am, we have put a hold on your card because we believe there is fraudulent activity on it. He said, did you pay $1,900 at so-and-so bridal shop? I said, no. He said, did you pay $1,200 at so-and-so doll shop? No. And he said, well, we didn't believe you did. We put a hold on your card, and we did not pay those. And he said, we've got to trade and change your card, because he said, we believe somebody's got a hold of your number, and they're using it for expensive activity. And I thought, oh, this man was looking out for me. I appreciated that so much. What if he had gone ahead, that card company, had gone ahead and let that activity go through, and I would have had to pay for this $1,900, it was $1,900 on my card that I had never even paid, bought. and another $1,200 on my card I'd never bought. I had a friend, she had to go through court and everything to get things taken off of her card. But this card company had been courteous enough to realize that that was not my normal activity, and they had put a stop on those payments, and they were doing this out of courtesy to me. And that really humbled me. That humbled me so much. And I said, Lord, I appreciate that. I didn't call in and check on that ahead of time. They did it on their own. And the Lord let me know it was his blessing for being honest. And he said, now you had the excuse too that Sam's was so big they would not miss that $11.23. Now this was a big credit card company, but they were willing to watch out for little bitty you, and they realized that there was fraudulent activity on your card, and they had stopped that payment. Now you feel like you're a little bitty fish in a great big world, but you know what? People do watch your life. And in this case, the Lord let me know that even though you feel very small and very insignificant, yet you are still salt. And there is still people watching you. They're still paying attention, even though you may pass by them and not even hardly make contact with them. They are watching to make sure you're living right. And this man or this company was watching out for me, and all they knew me by was my name and my card number. But they were watching out for me in an indirect way. It made me feel humbled, and it made me grateful to the Lord. And I realized, you know, the world is a big, big place, but we have a small little spot in it. And it's very important for us to keep that spot clean, not only for ourselves, but also for those around about us. When the Lord moves upon our heart to make a phone call to somebody to encourage them, there's been times whenever he's moved upon my heart and passing by in a store, see a little child sad, encourage that little child. And you might say that's a simple thing, but when the Lord moves upon us to do things like that, yield to the Holy Spirit. You don't know how far effect that may be, because I feel like I'm very small. I don't have much effect or influence on people, but yet the little bit I do, perhaps the Lord can multiply that and let it grow and let it grow, where it can bless more people than just one. We don't know, but we do know this. We're living in the last days. And we see the evil all around about us. We know it's getting worse. And it's such a temptation to say, well, Lord, the world is so wicked, it won't hurt to let down a little bit here or a little bit there, because it's so extreme anymore. They're way over here so wicked. And, you know, why should I be so careful here? But the Lord's paying attention, and the salt must stay salty. We must keep our savor for this wicked world, because when Jesus comes again, when he comes in the clouds, and I believe he's going to be coming before long, we've had witness of that, read account, and this is going into another little story, I'll be brief, but a man that had an experience of going to hell, 23 minutes in hell, and he experienced the pain of hell. It was a vision that the Lord gave him, and he began to tell it. He has been telling it. And in that vision of going into hell, and in that holding box, and those devils that came at him, and then he saw the lake of fire and the burning, and he saw the people in the lake of fire, and they were screaming, and they were reaching up. And every time they would grab, one of those monsters would push him back into the flames. And he saw that, and he was in his vision, this man was being pushed closer and closer to that lake of fire. And he kept saying, but Lord, I lived a good life. Why am I here? I lived a good life. And the Lord began to remind him of things. And he was pushing, that force was pushing him toward that lake of fire. And just before he got there, Jesus stepped in and lifted him up and out of there. And he began to rise above the pit. and above hell, and he went up in his vision and up into the sky, and the Lord began to deal with him. And the one thing the Lord told this man was, he said, I'm coming back soon, very, very soon. Tell my people I am coming back very, very soon. And I believe that. I believe the Lord is coming back soon. And when he comes back soon, we're not going to have time to scurry around and get things right and get stuff ready, you know, make amends with our brother and our sister or try to go back and take care. The Lord's going to come, and just as we are, that's the way we're going to be found. So let us be prepared. It was a challenge to my heart, and the Lord wanted me to pass the challenge on to encourage us to be faithful to the yield to the Holy Spirit and to yield to the Holy Spirit when he deals with us, when he talks to us. Let us listen to his voice and be diligent to obey him. It's a challenge to me too, because like I said, I realized I procrastinated too long and let it go by, and like it seemed a simple matter, but it wasn't simple to the Lord, and he let me know the way he dealt with me. He wanted me to take care of that soon. May the Lord help us each one to be faithful and careful.